Good evening and welcome everybody. I am very proud to anticipate a positive third quarter result, especially in light of the expectation that all of us we had after some temporary problems we experienced, especially in the North American market. The result, I think, is on the top of our expectation. I think we have reached the 68 million euro EBITDA, which, by the way, also the number that we reached for the whole year 2016. I think the growth versus last year in the area of 23.5%. I think this is extremely important because as every year that the main focus is reorganization and restructuration in a globalized company like FILA, I think there are many unforeseeable problems or unexpected problems. I think today we have almost gone through everything, and we are going to see in the next in the months coming the fruit, the results of what we have done during these first 9 months. The fact that the results we have accomplished is in line or even slightly better than our expectation give us a very positive mood for the months and the year coming. The environment is quite stable. I would like to remember everybody that we come from two very positive years, especially in Europe. We still have a very positive market in the emerging market. We see a very positive market in North America, but as you know, until June, we couldn't show any positive results due to our temporary logistic problems. In Europe, the market this year is showing more stability. Despite this, we are able to accomplish our duty and build up the synergies that we were expecting. The turnover is also in line with our expectation. We have a growth compared to last year in the area of 25%. We hit 390 million euro. And I prefer to give to Stefano De Rosa the responsibility to explain in detail all the results, and I will wait your questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Massimo. I kindly ask to everybody to go to page 4 of the presentation, so in order that we can start to comment the core business sales results. Core business sales at September are equal to 391.5 million, so showing an increase of 82.2 million compared to the previous year, and that is a 26.6% of increase. We have to consider looking at the revenue trend, which is the M&A effect and the Forex effect as usual. FX effect is equal to 1.1 million negative. This effect, as you remember, we have five currency, we are exposed to mainly to five currency, the pound, Mexican pesos, renminbi, India rupee, and US dollar. We saw that there was a revaluation of India rupee and the US dollar, while we had a depreciation, renminbi, Mexican peso, and the GDP compared to the previous year. So it means that the total global effect makes this negative 1.1 million of FX effect. Related to M&A effect, the amount that we have to take in consideration is equal to 74.2 million, mainly referred to Canson, but also to Dalle and San Cava, all the three acquisition that we did during 2006. Looking at the geographic area, considering geographic area, we can allocate this organic growth mainly to Asia for 5.9 million. The organic growth is equal to 9.2 million, taking away all the effect that I described before. These 9.2 million are allocated to Asia for 5.9 million. Of course, I'm referring to DOMS India, that show an increase equal to 4.7 million compared to previous year. The other increase is allocated to Central South America for 4.9 million. All the countries in South America show an increase. I'm talking about Chile, Argentina, Brazil, but in particular, the growth is referred to the Mexican subsidiary. We have also a little increase in other countries. In this case, the increase is referred to the South Africa branch. All these increase are offset by the North America decrease for less 1.2 million, and Europe for 0.6 million. As you remember, still we have a negative difference for North America area, but this data show a big increase compared the first half, because the difference in the first half for North America was equal to 7.5 million. We recover more than 6 million in the North America area. In Europe, as Massimo said before, there is a flat market, in particular in Italy, and in particular also linked to the decrease of the colored book trend that we had in the two previous year. Also we have to mention the slowdown of revenue that we have in U.K. due to some logistic problem in the startup of the new warehouse, and that caused more or less 1 month of delay in the turnover. In Europe, these two effects, Italy and U.K., is compensated by the other commercial subsidiary, in particular in Turkey, Russia, Poland, Greece, Benelux, that show a material increase compared to the previous year. By product line, the main part of the increase is related to other creative instruments for 6.2 million. In particular, I'm talking about crayon, paints, and glue in Mexico and India. Also, there is an increase of equal to 2.9 million in the pencil family product line, and in particular in the color pencil in India and Mexico. The office industrial product are more or less flat compared to previous year, also showing a little increase in the eraser and sharpeners in India. Going to page five, we can see the trend of the EBITDA. EBITDA is equal to 68 million euro. Compared to 55.2 million the previous year, there is an increase of 12.8 million, equal to 23.2 million. The M&A effect related to the same company that we have seen before is equal to 11 million, and the FX effect is equal to positive 0.5 million. This positive FX effect is due in particular, other than to the revaluation on the Indian rupee, is also due to the loss value that we experiment in the pound and in the renminbi, that are currency where the group is short. The loss value that we had compared to previous year in the pound and in the renminbi create a positive effect in the EBITDA. This means that the total effect, as I said before, is equal to 0.5 million. Net of M&A effect and FX effect, the organic growth is equal to 1.1 million euro. That is 2% of increase compared to previous year. Here you can see the total, we say a big signal from the result compared the first half, where we had a negative the a decrease of organic EBITDA compared to previous year. We recovered mainly due to the recovery in the North America area. About the EBITDA margin of the previous year was equal to 70.8%. In September, the value is the percentage is 70.4%. Very near, of course, part of this result is due to the very strong performance that we have in the EBITDA margin in the new acquired company, Canson and Dario, that are over our expectation as EBITDA margin. This is due mainly to the synergy in the overhead, in the rationalization of the price list, and also in the first effect that we have due to the incorporation of the business in some country, business that was managed by some external distributor in the past. The combined EBITDA margin in these two entity, Canson and Dario, is equal to near 14%. The organic EBITDA margin is equal to 17.6%. That is a little lower to the previous year, but in a strong improvement compared to the first half. Of course, the organic EBITDA margin is a little lower, in particular, due to the effect that the fixed cost increased compared to previous year due to the reinforcement of the department that we have in some country to sustain the revenue growth. I'm talking about India and Mexico. Also in F.I.L.A., we reinforce the finance marketing, the IT department, just to sustain the new strategy and the new project, SAP in this case. This is one of the first effect that explain why the organic EBITDA margin is a little lower than the previous year. The other effect are the non-recurrent cost that we had to solve some of the problem, the logistic problem in the USA. These non-recurrent costs are more or less the same amount that we had in June. I'm talking about $1.6 million. The other effect that caused a lower EBITDA margin are the FX effect on the commercial balance sheet item due to the accounting valuation end of the period that caused 1 million of FX effect within the EBITDA. All these three effects caused this little difference compared EBITDA margin the previous year. About the extraordinary cost, the amount is similar to the previous year, the first half, sorry. The increase is due to the alignment of the bonus share and the incentive plan that is accrued every quarter, and some extraordinary costs that we had in Brazil because the merger between our two subsidiaries we have in Brazil was finalized end of September with the validity date from the first of September, first of October. We, of course, due to this merger, we have sustained some extraordinary costs to the moving of the goods and to consultancy fees. If you go to page six, you can see that the net income in September is equal to 27.5 million. So we have an increase of 0.2 million compared to 27.3 million that we have in September 2016. We say that the positive difference that we had in the comparison of the EBITDA is a little reduced due to a high level of amortization and depreciation, in particular due to the old intangible asset that we have after the acquisition for the PPA process. We have, of course, more financial interest due to the M&A acquisition financing that partially affected 2016. We have also approximately 3 million of FX effect of some loans in euro given to some foreign subsidiary. I'm talking in particular to loan in euro existing in our USA Canson subsidiary in Brazil, in Turkey, in South Africa, and Russia. The total effect due to the depreciation discounting compared to euro in the P&L is equal to 3 million euro negative. The tax rate, the last effect that we have before analyzing the net income result, the tax rate is similar to the one that we had the previous year, so we are around approximately 30%. About the net financial position in September is equal to negative 276.5 million, showing an increase of debt equal to 53 million compared to December. This is normal for the period because we have a seasonality effect. This 53 million is explained by an operating cash flow negative for 25.9 million, is explained by cash out for CapEx for 15.3 million, mainly in France, U.K., and India, is explained by a dividend payout for 3.8 million, interest paid for 6.6 million. The one related to FILA are 3.5 million. We have a positive effect for the cash disposal for the participation in FILA Nordic that we sold in the first quarter to a minority. We have a negative FX effect for 2.3 million. All these numbers explain in detail the variation, the net debt increase of 53 million. It's important to point that the cash absorption that we have in these 9 months, 2017, is a little worse than the cash absorption that we had in 2016. The reason, in 2016, we had approx a cash absorption negative of 12%. Now we have a 21% of cash absorption. This you can easily explain by the temporary effect that we have in the net financial position due to the strong recovery of revenue that we have in the last quarter, the third quarter, because I'm talking about more than 6 million revenue recovery for North America. Also we have this is the main effect, but we have a recovery also in India and in Italy of revenue in the last quarter. In Italy, we have recovered the continuous revenue and another back to school. In India, we had the recovery of some turnover that we lost around July for because the market stopped for, let's say, 1 month due to the introduction of the new tax that is called GST. This caused a little delay in the revenue that was recovered in the last quarter. Of course, the effect that this recovery is mainly cashless in the third quarter, but we expect to recover all this revenue in the fourth quarter. So let's say that this deterioration of the EBITDA cash conversion is mainly a temporary effect. I think that now it's open the Q&A session if you have some question.
We remind all participants to dial star 1 to book a question. The first question comes from Storer Niccolò, Mediobanca.
Yes, good afternoon and thanks for taking my question. The first one is on the logistic problems that you mentioned on the UK. If you can elaborate a little bit more on that, and my question is also if these problems are in a way affecting your project to centralize all the warehouses in continental Europe, also following the problems that you experienced in the US in the first half of the year. The second question is on extraordinary cost. Is it right to assume that the additional 1 million that you had in the 9 months versus the 6 months is all related to the merger of the subsidiaries in Brazil, or is there something else? And the third question is on net financial charges. If I look at your P&L, you had in net financial charges around 11 million. Can you please divide this figure in real net financial charges and FX effects? Thank you.
Okay,
Stefano, then I suggest you answer question 2 and question 3, and then I answer question 1.
Okay, yes. Let's start from the financial charge. You have 11.3 million. Let's say that 9 million are really financial charges, interest, negative interest. Then the 3.3 million are FX effect. Mm-hmm. Then I have 1 million of positive effect in the due to the sale, the gain of the sale of the quarter participation in the Fila Nordic. So if you add 9 million of financial charges, 3.3 million of FX effect, and then you consider positive 1 million of Nordic, the total is more or less 11.3 million.
Okay.
Consider that the big part of 3 million is due to the to a loan in euro that Aeroldam, that is the holding of Canson USA, has. So you can imagine that this this loan was given last year, and so due to the depreciation of the US dollar compared to euros, it caused a big part of this 3.3 million.
That's not the question number 2 for
Extraordinary cost were 4.9 million in the first half. Now we have more or less 1 million increase. Let's say that big part is due to the bonus share incentive plan, because it's more or less 0.5 million, because we gave a tantus bonus share, and in June the bonus share was given only to the Italian manager, and so only in July we succeed to give the remaining part to the foreign managers. And so this is part. Then we have the accrual, a quarter accrual of the incentive plan, and the two effects combined makes this total 0.5, 0.6. The other part is due to Brazil. To be honest, it's not, to be clear, it's not only Brazil, but we have also some moving other, we have a lot of moving. The main part is Brazil because we did the merger, but we have also some costs coming from our Chinese subsidiary, that is Qingdao of Canson, that is moving machine equipment to another branch that we have in China. So let's say that these are the two big differences compared to extraordinary cost in June. So let's say 0.3 million to merger and movement to in China, merger Brazil and China, and the remaining part to bonus share.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's not only a merger, also we are shutting down one plant in Brazil and we are shutting down one plant in China. Coming back to point one, we have not stressed this point because we did not consider this as a major point, the logistic problem in UK, because we were more highlighting the positive side, which means that in UK we didn't have that problem, the results in Europe would have been even better than what it has been the global result of the group, because this temporary problem that we had in July, we have calculated, had an impact of £1 million negative EBITDA. No, this problem will not affect at all our project. I would say it is a confirmation that this is the only option we have, because the UK was working with a very poor ERP system, and in July we were forced, in order to meet our target for next year, we were forced, and that's why I always told that 2017 was really the critical year, we were forced to build up our central warehouse for United Kingdom. So the combination of the new central warehouse, which by the way is extremely efficient and very nice, the combination with a very old system has put us in a situation in which for almost 6 weeks we have not been able to invoice. Of course, the impact on the quarter is minimal because UK is not a big market. Just to give you an idea, it's a market of more or less 20 million euro. It's true that we have strong expectations in UK, which we confirm, by the way. We have strong expectations for next year, but the condition precedent to be successful in UK was to fix the problem of the warehouse, because the Dalerani plant was extremely inefficient with four or five warehouses around UK, so an impossible organization to be driven in order to achieve all our results. Just a small comment, in this moment the logistics situation is working very well. So the impact has been completely, let's say, solved, and has influenced only the numbers in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, we don't expect any problem. On the other way, I think we expect that UK start to improve the situation. So this is a little bit what we have around the world, a combination of acquisition with companies with very poor or very inefficient ERP, and we absolutely need to move to our SAP system in order to have also the central warehouse in Europe. So if you remember, in June we have a little bit postponed the departure of the central warehouse, so SAP transition will be in the 1st of January, while we have postponed the kickoff of the new warehouse, of the new central European warehouse, to the 1st of July. Frankly speaking, in this moment, we don't see any single reason why we should fail. Let's hope that from the mistakes we had in the United States and the problems that we had in UK, but difficult anyway to manage because the system was extremely old and inefficient. We needed to do that, and frankly speaking, I'm happy to see that the group is able to perform despite problems here and there. So from now on, we can only start seeing the result of what we have done.
Okay, thank you. So the implementation of SAP will start from the 1st of January only on main markets or for the whole company?
Yes, absolutely, only on the main market. If you want, Stefano can be more precise. We start from France and from the market that will be affected by the central warehouse, because it's a precondition in order to have all the countries connected with the central warehouse in France. And then we have a process that lasts almost 30 months for the full implementation of the countries throughout the world. Correct, Stefano?
Yeah, correct. All the council group will be rolled out next year, and also together with the company that will have to deal with the central hub. So your answer is correct. In 2019, will be Fila and Dahler, and if I remember well, in 20 we'll finish with India, just to give the main with India that already is on SAP, another version. So your answer is correct.
Okay, thank you.
The next questions come from Alessandro Cecchini, Equita.
Hello everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about North America and Mexico, that they had some problems in the past. I'd like to have more color from you regarding Mexico, the earthquake, that if the situation now is normalized and is okay, and in North America about the logistics, that it seems completely okay, but I would like to have more color on these. This is my first question. The second one is about organic top line growth that was plus 5% in the third quarter, recovering from minus 1% in the second quarter. Would I just to have your feeling about the last part of the year in terms of organic top line growth? And finally, for the CapEx, just if you could give us some indication for the CapEx for this year and for the next year, and also to have a detailed description of where you are investing in particular. Thank you.
Thanks, Alessandro. First of all, luckily, we have been much less affected than expected from the earthquake. Probably the reason is because the earthquake has been extremely strong in Mexico, just in Mexico City. And in fact, the number of our consumer is spread out throughout Mexico. So this is probably the main reason. In fact, Mexico is performing better than expected. It's even a little bit surprising us. So I can say, as you probably recall, I told you that our plant did not suffer any damage. So we can say that the earthquake for us has represented really a very small issue. For United States, yes, we can say that we have completely solved our problems. Today, our service rate with, for example, with Walmart is on top of 96%. The Black Friday, that in one day means for us a $7 million turnover, which will occur in these days, we are in the area of 100%. So the logistic problem has been completely solved. Now, of course, we have the challenge to convince our customer that we are back to be an efficient supplier. When we negotiate, of course, next year business. But for this year, I think that we have done everything and even more than the possible to recuperate the situation. The last part of this year is looking positive. As I was saying in the beginning, the market in the United States, our market, so not FILA, talking of stationary market and writing instruments, is a little bit better than the expectation. So the sellout is good, and despite the difficult moment of all the retailers. So I think that in this moment, the United States has gone back to a normal situation. Concerning the organic growth, I think that, don't forget that I always said that the minus one was not fair in the first semester because we had the only problem of logistics. So you should always to analyze our performance blending the second and third quarter. The fourth quarter, as I said before, is looking positive because last year fourth quarter was weaker than expected. Probably you didn't highlight because the year was extremely positive globally, but we remember that the fourth quarter was not that good. So we expect this trend of positive growth to continue in the fourth quarter. What is important for us in the quarters coming is that, not mentioning the SAP transition, is that we are going finally to collect all the benefit of the restructuration that we have put in place in the last 4 or 5 months. I would like to remember you, we are going to close 4 warehouses. We have closed 1 plant in UK, 1 plant in China, 1 plant in Brazil. All this from January will start giving us definitely a better cost situation, a better efficient situation, as you already highlighted in your estimation. So we will be more focused on efficiency, more on efficiency and service, more than the top line.
Thank you.
CapEx, are you, do you want the data on CapEx? Or do you have
yes. Yeah, yes, about on CapEx. Thank
okay.
You.
I think that this year we will close near 20 million because we had some additional investment and also we have a clear picture on the CapEx related to this year to SAP. Do you remember that we had the global amount of 4.5 million of SAP CapEx, more or less 5 million, and big part was anticipated this year. Also, just to give you an example, we decided that it was more efficient to buy some additional licenses this year. So due to this SAPF, due to do some additional investment that maybe we already discussed, we did in France just to improve the hub, in addition to the construction, we implement a strong automatic process in order for the logistic delivery. So I think that it's quite realistic that we close near 20 something else as a CapEx this year. Next year, I think that we will have other extraordinary investment related to some special machine that we have to buy in France, some new equipment machine that we have to buy for the UK warehouse. So we will be near 18 million of CapEx is my projection. If you ask me, Of course, these are not standard level. I think that I can confirm that without extraordinary investment, the normal level of capital that I should have is around 14 million.
So okay.
For the year, both year are affected by extraordinary investment.
Okay. Many thanks.
The next question comes from Niccolò Storer, Mediobanca.
Yes, thank you. A follow-up question. If I take your 9-month figure and I look at year-end consensus, I would have an implicit fourth quarter with a very low profitability. So, where the market is wrong? Is the market too conservative on year-end EBITDA, or should we expect for certain reasons a decline in the profitability in the fourth quarter? Or maybe on the other end, is the market too aggressive on revenues growth, and therefore we could expect margins more aligned to the ones reported so far in the year? Because if I take consensus, it's around 520-515 euro million with an EBITDA adjusted at around 18, and this would mean an implicit EBITDA adjusted margin just north of 10% in the fourth quarter versus the 17.4 reported year to date. Thank you.
Excuse me, before answering, can I ask you, when you say low profitability, you talk about last year fourth quarter, or you talk about a projection for this year?
No, the projection for the implicit projection for this year, given that we have already 9 months and we have all estimates on full year. So if I make a subtraction, I reach an implicit profitability for the coming fourth quarter, which is relatively low.
Can you repeat the level of revenue that you estimated?
Yes, Stefano, he's right, because their estimation is 510. It's simple. If we reach the 80 million EBITDA, we miss 120 million turnover, we generate just 12 million EBITDA, it's 10%.
Yeah.
I think it's a good, it's a fair comment. The only problem I have is that this analysis has not been made by me, but by the analyst. So, if you give us 30 seconds, Stefano, can you give us last year EBITDA and last year turnover in order to answer properly? Because what we are going to do this year is at least what we did last year, at least. If you give us last quarter, this answer is much more simple.
Last quarter was 12 million of EBITDA and 113 million of turnover, if I remember well. I'm quite sure.
So we were in the area of 13%.
11.
No, sorry. We were in the area 12 on 110, 11%.
Yeah.
11%. I think that this last quarter will be better than last year. So, in fact, I agree. I think that the numbers of the third quarter has told us that the group is performing probably a little bit better than the expectation. I think that the last quarter will be better than last year, both in turnover and at least in percentage in terms of profitability.
Okay, but I mean, there is no reason to expect a significant drop in profitability in the last quarter of the year. There is no seasonality. There are no specific impacts affecting the fourth quarter.
I mean, probably in this moment, I'm just guessing. We are going, if last year we had an 11% EBITDA, I would like to remember you that last year we bought Canson the 15th of October. So I assume that the perimeter of last year will be absolutely comparable to the perimeter of this year. So I'm guessing that. This year we are working with a much higher profitability versus the budget when we include Canson and Wehler. Probably the amount of fixed cost when we are in the area of 110 or 120 million euro has a higher impact. If you analyze all the other quarters, we are in the area of 130 million euro. Probably, I'm guessing the profitability is affected by the level of turnover. Said that, I fully agree with you when you say that if last year we did 12 million, just making a flat fourth quarter, we should meet the analyst expectation. What I can tell you is that the fourth quarter will be better than last year.
Okay, thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question comes from Giorgio Martorelli, Amber Capital.
Hello, everybody. Congratulations for the good set of results. I have a question on the longer term. We try to extrapolate the margin the company delivered for Canson, the new acquired business, Canson and Daler, and it looks like that already in 8-10 months, you have been able to reach the previous group EBITDA margin. So at the beginning, we look at the acquisition as a company coming in the perimeter, diluting the margin of the group. Now we are already at the group level in terms of margin, and probably, as you are saying, in the next 5 to 10 months, we will have further margin improvement. So I would like to better understand where do we stand, what you are expecting in terms of further profitability improvement, and what would be the at the moment we are looking at the group as a whole, but if you could say if you found more upside than you were expecting in terms of quality of the product and profitability of the company we have acquired, or simply we are delivering on time or ahead of schedule on the plan which was already in your mind. Thanks.
Thanks, Giorgio, for the question. In fact, I think that this year we are, the new acquisition has delivered better than expected for something that we have not seen during the due diligence, which was the average margin that we have been able to generate. This has helped us to offset two logistic problems that has impacted the year plus minus a couple 2.5 million euro EBITDA coming from USA and UK. So clearly the two acquisition has helped us to offset these problems that, frankly speaking, in a complexity could happen. As you know, there is an analyst consensus for next year that is north of 90 million euro that we always said in transparency that we fully agree because this year we are in the processes of shutting down many plants, as I said before, three plants and at least four warehouses. Plus, I would like to remember you that many countries are just taking over the distribution of Daler and Canson, which is a relative important growth of margins. So until June, we didn't have the chance to start selling the global offer. In Italy, we have not yet started because our Italian sales manager decided to wait to the central warehouse for a better service to the customers. So where do we expect better margin? We expect better margin coming from the efficiency of the supply chain that in this moment, now that we have solved the logistic problem in U.K., is coming because U.K. were very inefficient. In USA, that now has been solved. We have the question mark of SAP, but apart from the question mark, we have all the costs that are going down, which means that the gross margin will be affected, all the costs related to the four warehouses and the three plants that we are shutting down. In terms of market, we have experienced a strong improvement in the quality of sales, also because I always said that we would have canceled many SKUs with lower profitability than acceptable. And we are continuing doing this. We continue doing this. Still, we have not seen the cross sales. I think the cross sales will become fairly important, but it's meaningless to talk about cross sales if you don't have a central warehouse. So to summarize, in United States, we have created problem to customers related to the logistics until last July. In Europe, we have not yet started. The day that we start, both in United States and in Europe, we are going to sit down and instead of being insulted by the customer for the poor service, we hope to start talking about cross sales. So now that we have behind us the two main problems of this year, I'm quite confident that during 2018, we are going to reach all the targets we have agreed in cost side. And in 2019, we will start seeing a substantial cross sales.
Okay, thanks. If I may, a follow-up question on different matters related to M&A. We are in the process of integrating new businesses, but I was wondering if, as always, you are active monitoring and scouting for new brands or geographies where the company could grow externally.
Yeah, I thank you for this question because when somebody was making me this question in May and June, I said I refuse to talk about acquisition under this condition of logistic problem. In this moment, I start again to be focused on M&A project because these projects on average take at least a couple of years since the moment you start till the moment you accomplish. As I told during a recent investor meeting, we have a very nice surprise coming from China because the government has decided to invest in our business, imposing certain amount of hours to the kids to color, to draw. And this will generate substantial impact on the turnover and on the consumption of our business. I am also involved in other M&A project. One is in North America, another one is in Southeast, that are interesting. And of course, in this moment, as I am not anymore involved in daily problems, we can start again being focused on future acquisitions.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
There are no questions at the moment. Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. There are no questions at the moment.
Okay, Massimo, if you agree, we can say thanks to everybody.
Yes, thanks a lot, and hope to meet you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.